The Sports Byline Audio Vault is a who's who of the world of sports. It lets us remember and reconnect with the athlete and the sports moments we'll never forget. Let me share with you a few of those special moments. One of the most successful and respected coaches, Mike Krzyzewski, shared his first thought when the buzzer sounded and his U.S. Olympic basketball team had won the gold medal in Beijing.
Really a feeling of acceleration. I was so proud and happy, and it was really one of the genuinely great moments you could have in sport. And you know, the biggest accomplishment that I've had as a coach to be able to coach my country's team and have our guys represent it so well and then win also. And it was just a great feeling, and watching our guys on the gold medal stand with their hands on their hearts and respecting, giving utmost respect to our country, and it was the best.
A powerful driving force for any highly skilled athlete is the fear of failure. And Hall of Fame basketball player David Robinson put it this way.
That's always been a big part of my life. You know, different people have different personalities, and I'm noticing that with my sons now. You know, three little boys with three different personalities. And my personality, I don't like to disappoint people. I feel a huge responsibility to go out and give everything I have. And that's how I feel about my playing. I have a gift. I'm 7 feet tall. I didn't have anything to do with that. And I have this athletic ability and this body, and I feel like, you know, God gave me this for a reason, and I can't waste it. I just can't. I don't have that luxury.
In football, Peyton Manning has had a Hall of Fame career, already a Super Bowl winner and an NFL MVP. He shared his thoughts about quarterbacks erasing negatives from their minds.
You know, I kind of call it getting back to zero, and what I mean by that is when you throw an interception or you have a bad play, you can't let that play affect you on the next series. You have to, you know, erase it from your mind and kind of get back to ground zero, and so you can go out the next series and be productive and be successful. And if you let the play before you bother you, or the game before bother you, then it's only going to drag you further down.
Michael Robinson was a star quarterback at Penn State and came within one game of taking the Nittany Lions to the national championship game. Now an NFL running back, he shared the story of the importance and influence of his first coach.
Yeah, my very first football coach, his name was Finley Day. You know, I never forget it. You know, actually, he was my very first coach. My mom met him at a bar, and he was like, "You have a son, you know, bring him out to play football." I was only 5 years old, and, you know, I went out there, and I thought I was playing contact. You know, in the house, I'm running around, running into the couch, thinking I'm going to be running, you know, trying to run people over and things. And the first time he yelled at me, he said, "What are you scared about? He's not going to do anything but pull your flag." I said, "Pull my flag," and I wanted to quit. You know, I wanted contact. You know, I wanted to do what the guys did on Sundays. But, you know, he probably influenced my life the most on and off the field.
Sports lends itself to storytelling. Hall of Fame quarterback Joe Namath shared his favorite story about his coach with the Jets, Weeb Eubank.
Weeb, I swear, one time at training camp, Weeb says, "Joe, you got to get your hair cut." I said, "Well, why? Why? It's not bothering my throwing, coach, you know. No, you got to get your hair cut, son. It's too long." And so I tried to figure, how am I going to get around this thing? And I found out that in Peekskill, New York, there was not a union barbershop. So I went back to coach. I said, "Hey, coach, I'd love to get a haircut. I promise you." I said, "But my dad, you know, he'd get so upset because you don't have any union shops here, man, and I can't go to a non-union shop." And so I was able to get through that training camp without my haircut.
And when it comes to great football players and wide receivers, there is none better than Jerry Rice. Rice made the game look easy, but he also showed he was fast on his feet off the field and up to the challenge with his Dancing with the Stars performance.
When I did Dancing with the Stars, I took that uniform off. I took it off, and all of a sudden, I was open for criticism. I didn't have that security blanket anymore. And I think people really got a chance to connect with me. And it's a lot of people in life right now, they want to take chances, but they're afraid to. And I say to them, go for it. You only live once.
One of the things that makes sports special is our ability to hear or see on TV a great moment. Usually the broadcasters, the voices of the game, emblazon that moment in our minds and hearts forever. ESPN baseball announcer John Miller is one of the best of those voices. He's multi-talented and was influenced as a kid by one of broadcasting's all-time greats, Vin Scully.
I love Vin Scully. I think he's the best who's ever broadcast baseball. People love Harry Carey, might not feel that way about Vinny, but for me, he's the best ever. I never understood his international fame until I went to Japan last year with the Major League All-Star team, televised a couple of games, and I had a chance at long last to hear the legendary Genshiro Asami, the great broadcaster of the Tokyo Giants, lo these many years. And I was very excited. I filled with expectation, flipped on the TV, and you can imagine my surprise when he came on and he was doing Scully, you know. Watashi wa Karakuen Stadium ni orimas. Hajime mashite dozu yoroshiku lo ball two. You know, odotte ta dakemasen ka foul, you know.
Long after the games are over, fans and players are left with their favorite memories. Buck O'Neill was a pioneer and he loved baseball. He was one of the great names of the Negro Leagues playing with the Kansas City Monarchs. While O'Neill had many great moments and played in many great games, he had one very favorite baseball memory.
Yeah, we opened the season in Memphis, Tennessee on Easter Sunday, 1943. And listen, first time up, I doubled. The next time up, I single. The next time up, I hit the ball over the left field fence. The next time up, I hit the ball to left center. Looked like it was going out the park. I'm going to first base. Hit the fence, hit the fence, hit the fence. And it did hit the fence. Bounced back between the center fielder and the left fielder. I get to third base. The coach calling me to come on. I get an inside the park home run. But I stopped at third because I wanted that to hit for the cycle. And I did. And listen, that night I get to the hotel. I'm relaxing. And William Dismuke, who was our traveling secretary, was downstairs having dinner. And the man that owned the owned the restaurant in the hotel, his wife was a school teacher. And she had asked some young school teachers to come and meet some of the ball players. And so they were having dinner downstairs, and Dizzy told me to come downstairs. It had some people want me to meet. And when I got downstairs, the people were sitting at a table right in front of the door. And when I opened the door, I looked right in this young woman's eyes, and I walked straight to her. I said, "My name is Buck O'Neill. What's yours?" I married her, and we were married for 51 years. I had a great day that Easter Sunday.
I hope you've enjoyed this small sample of Sports Byline's library of great sports interviews. It captures the emotion, passion, and love of sports. You can hear more of these interviews and thousands of others with Hall of Famers, players, managers, coaches, owners, and sports authors and personalities in the Sports Byline Audio Vault. Relive the great moments in sports with those who are a part of them. Listen to funny sports stories and share more than 50 years of sports history. It's all available to you in the Sports Byline Audio Vault at sportsbyline.com.